NPR.
What's happening? I'm recording. I don't know why. So the other day, Darian, you called me up about an experiment you were doing.
All right. So we're going to do a stunt. You know how we kind of do stunts on this show?
Yeah,
we do fun things. This one is less fun.
Wait, this, really?
This one is depriving yourself of things.
Okay. I mean, then I feel like it's not a stunt. It's more of a trial. But okay, yeah. Tell me about what's going on?
This is an experiment around phone addiction.
I'm not addicted to my phone. I can quit it anytime I want.
The reason, Stacey, I roped you into this a couple of weeks ago is how much we use our phones and social media is this really controversial topic right now. The average American adult uses their phone 4 or 5 hours a day, which is like over a quarter of all waking hours.
And of course, you know, you have to presume that not all of that is like directly related to work or, you know, doom scrolling stuff that we all fall into. That I've heard that people fall into, Darian.
Yeah, not you, right?
Not me. No.
Okay, go for it.
I want you to open up your phone and scroll to the left, and you'll get this little productivity thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Click on the chat.
What do you want to know?
This feels like I'm prying.
That's fine. Fire away.
It's for science.
I'm an open book.
What is your daily average for the last week?
It's high. It's high, Darian. It's 4 hours and 24 minutes a day.
Stacey, I'm 4 hours and 31 minutes.
Oh, I feel better. Okay. I'm already winning. I like this so far. I'm a noble soul, Darian. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, phone addiction. Psychologists, parents, teachers, they've all got views on this. But now economists do too.
And we are turning our Indicator Studio into its very own behavioral economics lab. And Darian, we are going to see what it takes to break free, or at least partly break free, from one of our most habit-forming possessions, our phone. As we've been talking, my daily average is now up to 4 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. We better finish this conversation.
I'm going to go to shop.npr.org/planetmoney. What we've got for sale here is a T-shirt, a sticker, the patch from when we sent a satellite to space, a bunch of Planet Money stuff for sale at shop.npr.org/planetmoney for all of the Planet Money lovers in your life.
A couple of weeks ago, when I called Stacey up, I wanted to see how much phone time she could reduce over the week, and I gave her two tools. First, a blocking function. I asked Stacey if she wanted to change any of the phone settings to limit the amount of time she spends on apps.
Which I was very excited to do. Oh, man. I'll add a limit of 10. I put a limit on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Secondly, incentives. I offered to pay you, Stacey, a motivational payment for reducing your phone usage over the next week. I will pay you $2.50 for every hour that you reduce the daily average each day.
Oh.
It's just like a little bit of an incentive. You might better buy an extra couple of coffees by the week's end from reducing your screen time.
Okay.
Let's check back in a week.
And Darian, looming in the background of all this was this question, right? Are phones, is it an actual addiction, you know? Or can you just cut down those hours without noticing at all? I mean, is there even such a thing as a digital addiction? This is a big controversy right now. And the big official book on medical disorders, the DSM-5, does not actually recognize digital addiction as a disorder.
Right. And some experts are making noise about this and calling for some more research. And that phrase, more research needed, was a green light to three behavioral economists, Hunt Alcott, Matthew Jentzko, and Lena Song. They're three economic researchers who love to think about incentives and cause and effect, and they dived right in. They wrote a working paper titled Digital Addiction.
And we spoke to co-author Lena Song. She is a PhD candidate at NYU.
And what apps or sites do you like to visit the most?
I guess I use some YouTube and then just watching videos, something mindless. What about yourself?
Myself? For me, it's my Achilles heel is Twitter. One of the reasons why it's so addictive for me is because partly I use it to find story ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is really useful. But then part of it is just, I'm just a black hole and I'm just wasting time.
That's exactly what we're trying to think about, right? Because we know social media does add tremendous value to our lives. Mm. But at the same time, there's this other component of addiction that we're trying to study here. So it's not exactly all good or all bad that's relevant here.
So research on digital addiction has divided it into two main concepts: habit formation and self-control. What Lena and her co-authors did was look at these two concepts through the lens of behavioral economics. So first, habit formation. So habit formation means wanting to do more of something tomorrow because you did more of it today. So like, you know, take coffee. If I drink 2 cups of coffee today, I'm going to want to drink 2 cups of coffee tomorrow. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm harming myself, just that more of something today might mean more of something tomorrow.
And the second concept Lena tested was self-control problems. Now, this is when you know you want to spend the weekend reading books rather than watching Netflix. But when the weekend arrives, you think, no.
Grey's Anatomy season 7, it's just the siren song of Shonda Rhimes.
And it's the classic self-control problem with your virtuous long-term planning angel on your shoulder is fighting with the short-term devil saying, live for now.
I want to quit smoking. But when tomorrow comes, actually, I would continue smoking because I'm using more than what I would like to.
And to test these two parts of addiction, habit formation and self-control problems, Lena and her colleagues recruited 2,000 volunteers using Facebook ads, of course, and they put them into groups. So some of them were given $2.50 each hour they reduced their phone usage, just like I was. And the others used a limiting feature on their phones that basically restricted how much they could use each app. Also, kind of like I did.
Okay, so you had your 2,000 participants. They were all in treatments and control groups with different levels of incentives and all kinds of stuff. What did you find? What was the big number at the end?
Our main takeaway number is that we find, on average, 31% of people's phone use can be attributed to self-control problems.
Wow. 31%. I mean, that's not nothing.
Yeah, it really adds up.
So that means if you use your phone for 3 hours a day, that is 1 hour on average that is being wasted on something you don't even want to do.
And look, this isn't some righteous professor wagging their finger saying you're using your phone too much. This is people's own preferences, and they're showing that they want to use their phones 31% less.
Right after they start flossing and exercising every day? Yes.
Exactly.
We also found that individuals were actually willing to pay money to use the limit function. So people are aware that they have these self-control problems, and they were willing to give up a little bit of money to use these functions as well.
And that brings us back to you, Stacey, in our experiment. Stacey Vanek-Smith, it has been 1 week since we last spoke. So last week was 4 hours and 24 minutes that you'd been using your phone a day.
Mm-hmm. Try 2 hours and 42 minutes is my daily average.
Oh, that is great. I'm proud of you, Stacey.
I mean, you know, I love homework.
It's about roughly 1 hour, 40 minutes less per day.
Yeah. Wait, how much do you owe me? There's money involved.
$30.
$30. I mean, that's a lot of coffee.
It's a lot of coffee and muffins and croissants.
That is a lot of pastries.
If you want to add some learning to your social media habit, follow us. We are at The Indicator on Twitter.
Yeah, we don't count. We don't count towards your screen time.
Yeah, we have the good kind of screen time. And we sometimes adapt our episodes to Planet Money's TikTok and Instagram. You can find them both at Planet Money.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Julia Ritchie and Brittany Cronin. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. Kate Concannon edits the show. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.
NPR's Planet Money Summer School is now in session. Everything you want to know about investing from expert guest professors. New classes every Wednesday till Labor Day in the Planet Money podcast feed.